We had a great celebration last week. Thank you for everybody that brought stuff for the potluck, and thank you for everyone that has just been faithful for as long as you've been here, 5 minutes or 15 years or whatever it's been, and that we've got to see the faithfulness of God on this place. We're so glad to point to Jesus. Amen? We point to Jesus for every good thing because it's to him, from him, for him, of him. Amen? Just remember that. It's all for Jesus. Everything in our lives, it's all for Jesus. And we've been talking the last 3 weeks about God's faithfulness. Talked about God's faithfulness. Then we talked about, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how because God is faithful, we can be confident. We can have this steadfast, this steadiness, this assuredness, this rock solidness in our lives because he is faithful. Because God's faithful, I can be confident. Because he is steadfast, I can be steadfast. And so spent some time on that. And then last week, we just heard testimonies all morning long of God's faithfulness, how God is so faithful over all the years, whether it was just recently, some of them were, and some of them were way back years ago. And even read something from Ray, Jim did. It was good stuff. And so today, we're going to talk about God's faithfulness in just a little bit different way. It's a good thing. It is a good thing. Some of you weren't convinced on that. You just didn't even want to say that. It is a good thing. What's a good thing? Well, I don't know. Let's look at a verse in Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. We're going to look at a couple verses. It is good. Say good.
Good.
It is good. It's good. It's a good thing, right? Anyone ever said that saying, well, it's a good thing. What? Then we fill in the blanks. So it's like this intervention. It's like that things were orchestrated that way. It's a good thing. I don't know. I didn't have my spanking stick in my hand when the kids lipped off. Or it's a good thing, whatever. I don't know. And we always say stuff like that. And the Bible is telling us it's a good thing. How many of you know that the Bible is our source? It's our guide. It's our life, right? And when the Bible says, and this is just not, it's not just rules. It's not just a religion. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says that he's the word of God. Yeah. So this living and active word, right, that is changing and transforming our lives. When that word of God tells us that something's good, we should think this is good. If the Bible says this is good, what should you think?
Good.
It's good. This is good. Believe what the word of God says. Amen. Like that, if there could be any challenge for us today, believe what the Word of God says. Like, you could end the sermon right there. You're all like, really? No, not really. Just teasing. But you could, because if we do that, if we all just did that, if we all just believed that the Word of God says, that the Word of God is true and what it says is true, man, it would be so powerful. Help us to believe, right? So it says it's good. It's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, Most High, to declare your faithful love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. It's good to talk about the faithfulness of God. Amen? That's what we've been doing for 3 weeks. But we're going to shift gears just a little bit today. It's good to give thanks. Come on. It is good to give thanks. It is good to give thanks. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The Bible is giving us kind of like a judgment call on something that you can do or not do. And it's saying, the Bible is telling us, I'm going to draw out a scenario that is really good for you. Right? Anyone ever had someone tell you to take a vitamin C, or you need to not be eating gluten, or you need to be eating more beef, right? Right, Travis? You need to be eating more beef. Or you need to whatever the thing is, because it's good for you. Eat your vegetables. They're good for you, right? And so everyone has this vision for our lives of what's going to make us better, what's going to be helpful for us, what's going to do well for us. The Bible is giving us a vision of this morning in Psalm 92. It is good for you. Look at your neighbor, say for you. It's good for you to give thanks. The Bible doesn't say it's good for the preacher to give thanks.
Hallelujah.
Oh, it is. It's good for Holly to give thanks.
Hallelujah.
Praise God, it is. Thank you, T-Dog. Appreciate that. Let her know that she's being talked about. But it's good for you to give thanks. This is an imperative that is coming down. It's personalized for your life. Just everyone just say, for me. For you. It's good for you. It's not just good for someone else. It's good for you. Apply this to your life. It's good when I take the word of God and apply it to my life. See, we all can memorize verses, but do we apply them to our life? And that's what the challenge is this morning. It's good for you to give thanks. There's a scenario that God has in mind for you, and he's like, you want to step into that? Then it's what you need to do is give thanks, to be grateful, to be thankful. But this is a specific word. It's not just being grateful. It's actually a very specific word. Yada, yada, yada. I don't know if that's how you say it. I think it's yada, and toda is the other word we're not going to talk about today, but those two words kind of go together. But some of you might be wondering if this is just an artistic choice. Why are you showing a picture of someone's hand with a bracelet on, throwing a clump of dirt or whatever they're doing there? It's because yada, and it's often translated praise or thanks. So the word for thanks right here in Psalm 92, let me back up to it. It is good to give yada to the Lord. Now, this is not, there's going to be a bunch of words today. You don't have to remember that. They're like, it's not super grammar heavy, but just to kind of open something up, and we're going to do a cool thing here in just a little bit. But it's good to give thanks to the Lord. Thanks there is yada. Well, what is yada? What is the definition of that? This is interesting. Watch this. It is a primitive root from yad. I know a lot of you guys like to use the word yad. Or not really. That's a Hebrew word. And so everyone do that. Okay, come on. We're going to pretend like we're in kids class today. Everyone do this. Yep. That is not yad. Now do this. That is yad. Okay, put your hands up. So stretching out your arm with a closed fist is a different Hebrew word than stretching out your hand with an open hand. Does that make sense? Okay, this is not yod, this is. So it means literally to hold out the hand physically, to throw a stone or an arrow at or away. Especially it means to revere or worship with extended hands, right? Not closed fists. And like, if you close your fist in worship, that's okay. I do that. That's not what this is saying. Just what does this word mean? It means to cast, confess, praise, shoot, be thankful, give thanks, thanksgiving. So what does that, why are we got this picture of like throwing dirt? It's because that word is encapsulated, this concept of, everyone do this, just chuck it away. Now come on. I had really good participation on the put your hand up. All right, ready? Do this. There we go. There we go. It's an action. We've got to put it into practice. And so when we read a verse like that, it's good to give thanks, whatever, and we would be convinced sometimes that it's just, oh, I should be more thankful for stuff. And that is a challenge, absolutely. But that's not exactly what it's saying. It is good, because we want to find out what this, because I want what is good in God's eyes for my life, amen? I don't want what God sees as bad for me. Because he created me, he knows what I need, he knows what I want, he knows what's going to make my life prosper. So I want what he thinks is good for me. And if he says it's good for you to yada, 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 then that's what I want to do. What does that mean? It means this. What does this mean? Am I supposed to go, now Alana, sometimes maybe you want to have a rock in your hand and yada, Justin. That's okay. Us husbands do that sometimes. We're very yada-able. Chuck a rock. Wait a minute, it says an arrow. Or a stone. Okay, that's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about taking this thanksgiving that is in our heart, this gratitude that's in our heart, and it's in this verse, in this instance, it's telling us it's not just enough for you to be inwardly a little warm fire of gratitude, a little, I appreciate that. That's not enough. Now, that might be great, and that, there's other verses that would tell you that that's great. But this verse is saying, you want God's picture for a good life? Then you got to chuck it. You got to chuck it. Keep it in your heart. It's not just a being grateful. It's taking time to recognize that God is doing something amazing, recognizing the benefits, recognizing the goodness of God in my life. In the midst of the hard circumstances and the struggle and the trial, stopping and going, no, you know what? Other people probably have it worse than me. You know what? I ate today, and a lot of people didn't eat today. You know what? I can breathe. You know what? I can call up. I've got a phone. I can call up. Maybe you don't have a phone. That's all right. Someone else has a phone. You can borrow theirs. I can call a friend, and I can talk, right? I can walk, right? I don't know. I can walk. I can do things. Start counting your blessings. Let that well up on your heart, and then chuck it. Where are we chucking it? Chucking it to God. We're casting it to God. We're giving thanks. So it's not just enough to have this warm sense of thankfulness in your heart. That's where it starts. That's great. But we got to chuck it, saying if you want to find the good vision for your life, you got to chuck it. You got to give thanks to God. Well, the Lord knows that I'm grateful. Well, I'm sure he does. He also knows that he wants a good plan for your life, and you're just being stubborn and you're choosing not to walk into it. Well, if God wants me to have a good life, then he'll let me have one. That's not how the Bible works, folks. There's all these principles. There's all these principles that we can do that are gateways to enter into what God has for us. Amen. And we can choose to do them, or we can choose to not do them. Look at your neighbor. If he looks like this, it's a bad deal. I'm just kidding. It is good to chuck it. It's good to give those thanks to God. It's good not only to remember him and recognize his blessings, but to give thanks to him, to yada, to cast it out to him, to get, God, you're so good. In the middle, because you know what? It changes things. It changes things. Oh, honey, we were going to get, I don't know, whatever. What were we going to get this week? Oh, we were going to get a new TV. We were going to get a new TV this week. But man, I want to yada and not get on this side of things. But we just got our new insurance, health insurance stuff. I'm like, whoa. And she's like, oh, yeah. And also this bill went up $200 a month. I'm like, what? Where's that coming from? And she's like, oh, yeah. Also this. I'm like, okay, stop. Just don't tell me anymore. Right? So we can get stuck in that and just get bogged down with that, but in the middle of it, we can go, wait a minute. But we do have lights on in the house. Wait a minute. We did eat today. Wait a minute. We do have gas in the car. Yada. Thank you, God. And don't just have it in your heart. Chuck it out, man. Turn to your neighbor. Say, chuck it out. Chuck it out. Come on. You got to give thanks to the Lord. And you know what happens? It begins to start to change. It changes your mindset. It changes your heart. It changes the control that those emotions have on you. I just need prayer because sometimes we just need to do the stuff, right? Often we do need prayer, but we also need to do the stuff. Right. Amen. Just seeing if you're with me. Hey, there's a different Hebrew expression. I didn't write that one down. That's often translated as gratitude, but the literal translation, it literally means recognizing the good. This Hebrew phrase that I didn't write down there, it means to recognize the good. Like they would say, have gratitude. The literal meaning is to recognize the good. How much time do we spend recognizing the good? Recognizing the good takes effort. Recognizing the bad is effortless. Oh, you with me? Recognizing the good takes intentionality. I have to choose, right? Sometimes we're like, I love you, but you know what? Okay. If you're married, you know what I mean. You got to pause and take a minute to recognize the good. I'm having fun with this because I don't want you to get too heavy on me today. But this is real stuff. If you're married and you're looking at me with disdain right now, you're lying to me. If you're with someone in the same room for more than 18 minutes, sometimes you're like, okay, all right, how do I put up with this, right? Because that's just, we're human. And so we recognize the good. It's easy, it's effortless to recognize the bad. We were laughing the other day. Where were we at? Who was that? I can't remember. But chewing loud. I don't remember who I was having that conversation. Oh, that was Bob. Yes, that was you guys. But chewing loud, eating cereal at night and chomping loud. And Marnie's not impressed with that. When I sit down with my bowl of cereal, I told you guys last 2 weeks ago about me hunting through at night looking for my bowl of cereal. Guess what I do with my bowl of cereal? I sit down and eat it. Well, I guess apparently all the way across the room, I chew louder than a bunch of soldiers marching through the compound or something. Because Marnie's not impressed with that. It's easy. It's effortless to find the bad. Oh, are we on the same page? It does not take a lot of work to find out about someone what annoys me. Or to find out about my life, what I'm not happy with. Well, I'm not satisfied with this. Well, I'm not happy with that. Hey, guess what? All it takes to figure that out is just be alive. Yay, good job. But you want to know what leads to a good life? Figuring out what's good. Amen. That takes a little bit of intentionality. And when you figure it out, what are you going to do? Chuck it. Come on, you got to give those thanks to God, and he's going to start forming your situation. He's going to start forming your heart. He's going to get your emotions in line. He's going to get your vision right. He's going to get your eyes on Jesus, right? And so the next slide, talking about the Hebrew Thanksgiving, the Hebrew twist on Thanksgiving, therefore, is that it often sounds not so much like thank you as it sounds like here's what kind of God you are for us. Man, I read that. I'm like, oh, I just want to just meditate on that. This Hebrew saying of kind of recognizing the good and whatever, this twist is not so much just thank you, it's us seeing who God really is for us. That's what chucking it does. Come on, guys. That's what happens when you chuck it. When you give thanks to God, when you yada, when you express your thanks to God, it starts to open up. We've spent all of these weeks talking about who God is. Well, when you give thanks, it lets that vision land in your heart. You start internalizing that. You start making it real. Because what, I don't know how to say this cryptically, so I'm just going to say it. When you're thankful for something, who's the one that's being thankful? It's not a trick question. It's you. Being thankful is ultra personal. Because I might be thankful for something that you're not thankful for, and that's not bad. Like, someone might be thankful for the snow, because it's pretty. Someone else might be full of curses, because of the snow, because you hate it, right? So what I'm trying to say is the Thanksgiving is ultra-personal. And so these character traits of God and these blessings of God, we personalize it when we give thanks. All of a sudden, we connect it right to me. Whoa, God, you did this. I'm thankful for this, for my family and whatever, but it's me being thankful. Does that make sense? Yeah, I'm thankful for this church. Well, that's not just about me, but it's me being thankful. Are you with me? I'm saying that a lot today, but I want us to be on the same page today. So even if it's not just for me, in that moment of me being thankful, it's about me. It's my heart being thankful to God, even if I'm being thankful for you or for, you know, a blessing that's for all of us or whatever. It's me being thankful. I can't choose if you're going to be thankful for that. Like, if you are not thankful for our church, I'm thankful, right? You know what I mean? I'm going to choose to be thankful. So that makes these character traits and this work of God, it makes it really personal. And that changes you. And that lets God move in a way that is profound in your life. We're going to look at something unique here today. Just bear with me for a second. We're going to look at the flow of grace. What does that have to do with being thankful? I'm glad you asked. Just hang on for a second. I don't know if you were here when we were talking about God is gracious. These are two slides from God is gracious. Okay? Ken. Remember that? Remember the sucking on a cough drop and talking about a rooster? Or a female chicken, I mean? Ken. Marked, it's this Hebrew word for gracious, gracefulness, grace. It's marked by kindness and courtesy and being compassionate, characterized by charm and good taste and generosity of spirit. This graciousness. We talked about Ken can be like a ballet dancer, like a symphony, like a fine necklace. It can be like Chen is this you did something dumb, but someone doesn't capitalize on it. They're gracious to you. Has anyone ever, let's bring this to a real world example. Have you ever said something dumb, did something dumb, or found out that you were wrong in an argument or whatever, and someone was gracious to you? They let you kind of scoot out of it. They could have been like, I told you that wasn't going to work. Or I told you I was right, right? And that's always so painful. But if the other person is chen, if they're gracious, they're like, let's just go watch some TV. And you're like, oh man, they could have blasted me. And they didn't. Marnie is very much full of chen. Like a lot of times, I'll be wrong. And I'll be like, oh, she's going to clobber me. And she doesn't. She's just so gracious. And here's something that I've learned, just on a little side note. A lot of us don't know how, especially in communication and not even really arguments, but we don't know how to carry chen. And I would say if you want your relationships to level up, and if you want trust to deepen, and if you want to be more, if you want to be closer and have deeper, richer friendships, learn how to be gracious. When someone gets backed into, we teach this in kind of any of our marriage stuff that we do. When you get backed into a corner, you have no other option but to be defensive. And so a lot of times, if you're talking with someone and you, like, I didn't know how to do this. I just did not have this tool until very recently. And so I just remember being in so many countless conversations and I'm like, well, they're wrong. They're wrong. Like, factually, they're wrong. And I would just be like, and then that'd be all fun because I'm right. I know and I can prove it. And I could a lot of times. And it was just really bad for relationships. I was not chen. I didn't have graciousness. And I remember the first couple times I did that, it felt so wrong. I'm like, but they're wrong. And I remember doing that, and I remember the goodness of God welling up in my soul. But my mind is going, but you have to say that they're wrong, and you have to get them. And I would be gracious, and I'd be like, this tastes a lot different than anything else I've ever had in my mouth before. And it felt wrong in my head, but so right in my spirit. And I watched relationships just grow. So if you can learn how to be gracious, the minute you feel like you've got someone, guess what they feel? They feel gotten. And they're going to be defensive, and you're going to get the worst version of them. Just a little relationship advice today. Talking about chen, that was not on the docket, but that's a little free nugget thrown in there. But this charm and good taste and not having to really stick it to you. The other slide that we talked about when we talked about chen, we talked about it's gracious. That word gracious descends from the Latin word for goodwill. A gracious person wants everyone to be comfortable. A gracious host leaves extra blankets and some books on a variety of subjects out for overnight guests to enjoy. Even at a difficult moment, a gracious person remains thoughtful and kind, like the gracious way that you treat a waiter who spills a glass of juice on your lap. And so why are we talking about that when we're talking about thankfulness this morning? The Hebrew word chen is often translated to the Greek word charis. If you don't know this, and I'm just being honest here, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. The New Testament from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, from that on is written in Greek and a little bit of Aramaic. And so if the New Testament quotes an Old Testament verse, it has to translate it into Greek. And if they're going to use a word, they would use in Koine Greek, the Greek of everyday language that they have. And so the word chen, which was a big, because it's, you remember Exodus 34, I am gracious and compassionate. That was a big word. Often that Hebrew word got translated into charis. And we've talked about charis in different lessons before. Like, we're a charismatic church. The grace gifts. It's this grace of God that can let us, use the gifts of God, healing and speaking in tongues and words of wisdom, like all that stuff. That's charis. It's grace. It's the grace gifts. So charis and chen are one-to-one translations. So let's look at a couple verses on grace. You guys know these verses. So we praise God for the glorious charis or chen, but it's in Greek, so because it's the New Testament, for the glorious grace that he poured out on us. who belonged to his dear son. He is so rich. Get this picture of God. No. He's so rich in kind, like this, kind of this, like, if you're thinking of a person, I mean, it's God, but if you're thinking of a person, this regal guy in flowing robes and rings and a crown, right? This overflowing in wealth and goodness, right? He's so rich in kindness and grace, Charis, or Chen, Charis, that he's purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. So after we went through that Old Testament on Chen and saw this, how many things can have this graciousness about it, it adds such depth to this. He's, you know, he purchased our freedom, his richness and kindness. And this verse that you know in Ephesians 2, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by his charis or chen or grace. It's by his grace, this overflowing graciousness of God. This goodness, generosity. It's not just getting what we don't deserve. It is that, absolutely. But it's so much more. It's so much a fullness of beauty and generosity and gentleness and compassion. And it's all wrapped up in this word charis in the New Testament. So this is interesting. So charis, almost, I think, but I don't know for sure, I think every translation that we would have in our English Bibles of grace, almost every one of them would be charis. That's the word that's translated into grace. So let's look at this verse. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude," charis, "in your hearts." Here, charis is not translated grace. It's translated thankfulness, gratitude. That seems really strange to me. Does anybody know what this is? What is that? Power lines. Oh man, do we got some a thought for you today? Does anybody know what this is? Yes. So, electricity is generated. Do you guys know about electricity? Do I need to tell you about this? I'll do it anyways. Some kind of power plant somewhere, some electricity is generated, you know, waterfalls or nuclear or coal or however it's generated. And then it's transported through these transmission lines and down to substations, and it's all split up and divvied up, and you can have some and you can have some and you can have some too. And then it's brought to a transformer, and it's transformed down into a manageable size that we can use. And somewhere in your house, you've got something like that. Fuse box or a breaker box, and then out of your breaker box comes some sort of wiring. When we lived in town here, we had an older house, and it had knob and tube wiring, and when we remodeled, we got most of that out of there and put in what we would call Romex wiring, and so there's these wires that then come to your house. Oh, man, we're talking about grace this morning. Stay with me. At least some of you woke up to see the illustration. What's he going to do with that? So you have these often two wires that, well, now you need grounds and stuff like that. But for simplicity's sake, we're talking about these two wires, okay? We're talking about a power wire, which is red. We had the choice between red and black. We cut off the black one and chose the red one because it's easier to see. So you got a red one that is carrying power. And so often we think, because when you go to your wall and you plug in your toaster, how many prongs usually are on the thing? Two, usually two. I mean, there's three if you have ground on there, but for your smaller appliances, you put the two. So the two prongs get you electricity, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. I plug both. If you're missing a prong, what happens to your toaster?
Doesn't work.
Your bread stays cold, right? So you need both prongs, right? You plug the two prongs in, and you get electricity. And you toast your bread, or you turn your microwave on, or you turn the radio on, or, you know, you plug in your heat blanket at night because it's getting chilly, right? And so you need both of these wires. And so both of these wires have electricity. Kind of. Both of these wires kind of have electricity. I actually just got a new tester because I needed to be able to test a capacitor. And so I got a new tester, and it's got a new feature that I've never had before. You can take the red, we call that hot with electricity in it. You can take that tester lead, and you can plug it into an outlet, and you can plug it into just one of the things, and if it beeps, that's where the electricity is. You can know if your outlet's wired right. Like, you don't, I've never had a tester that did that before. So I can find out which one is the hot. So hot, this would be electrified. This is what we call the neutral. All of you guys are wondering if you're in vocational class or if we're in church today. Wait a minute. Did I take a wrong turn somewhere? I went too far around the roundabout, didn't I? There's a point to this. Because we think that both wires carry the electricity, right? Both wires have power. Both wires actually do not have power. This wire has power. And if I'm grounded, if I've got decent shoes on, and I've done this often, and I would not recommend this. This is a please don't do as I say kind of a message. If this is electrified, you can touch this one. You can grab this one. And unless you're standing in water or something. If you're standing in water, don't be messing with electricity. In fact, most of you just don't mess with electricity. If you're doing something greater than plugging a toaster in, just don't do it. Call somebody else. Be safe. And I've got a bucket of tools that pliers with one leg on it, screwdrivers that are burnt off. Like, it's not, this is, don't do that kind of stuff. So if you're grounded in a situation like this, if there was electricity in here, I could touch this and it would be okay. But if I came along and I was touching this one and I touched that one, then you all of a sudden you would have trouble. But if I touch this one alone, typically, unless there's a short in the system, like in a normal situation, this does not have electricity in it because the purpose of this one is to carry the electricity back to the box so it can complete what's called a circuit, a circle. It makes a circle. So this wire, so what I think is, Alan was going to get me a light bulb, but we didn't do that. But like if there's a light bulb here, if I plug those on, the light bulb lights up. This is in a theoretical thing. So it feels like they have power. Well, they do, but this one has power. This one carries that same power back to the box, and it completes the circuit. We read that verse talking about to being thankful, and that word being charis, the same word as grace. Follow with me, because here's where the point's coming home. The grace of God is poured out from God to us. There's power in that. But often in our lives, that gets short-circuited because there will not be any toast made, any lights lit, any radios radioed unless you have the return line. Electricity comes down, what goes back? Electricity. It's electricity. It's the same electricity that's flowing through both of these. It's the same electricity. The same electricity is flowing through here. It's flowing through here. But it's flowing back to the box. And without the complete circuit, you don't get the lights to light. And you don't get the radio to radio. And you don't get the TV to TV. You need both of these to complete the circuit. Charis is poured out from God to us. And then charis is poured out from us back to God. Oh, I think some of you I watched the proverbial light bulb just come on. You just went, oh, wait a minute. I think I know what he's saying. He's saying, wait a minute. I give thanks. White wire. I give charis to Christ, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, persecutor, and an arrogant man. But I received mercy because I acted out of ignorance in unbelief, and the grace, the charis of the Lord, overflowed along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Look at this. I give and I receive, right? It's a circuit. I give this thanks to God. He pours out this grace in my life. And the thanks here is charis. Hold on a second. What does God receive from it? Let's back up a second even more. When we went through the graciousness, the chen, we were talking about that it's often someone who's in a lower position receiving chen from someone in a higher position. That's lower financially, lower skill-wise. Has anyone ever went in the ditch? Has anyone ever gotten someone to pull you out of the ditch? Some nice traveler by? They were you were experiencing chen. Chen was given from them to you. It's almost always someone in a higher position. I don't just mean higher up on the road, but you know, more power, more money, more. And but they're because they have. That's the only way they can give chen. Is they're giving that graciousness to you because they've got an ability that you don't have in that moment. Does that make sense? Are you with me? They're giving something that you don't have in that moment. They're giving you something. They're giving you some money. They're giving you love that you need in that moment. They're giving you help. They're giving you food. They're giving you shelter, whatever it is. The chen, that graciousness is being poured out to you. What does God need? What does God receive? He nothing. And yet, I was dwelling. I'm like, what? Is there anything else that God, like, whoa. God receives, typically, charis is the Greek word for chen. Typically, it's someone who's got something to offer to give to someone in need. Man, just stay with me. God doesn't need anything. And he opens himself up to receive a benefit from us. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't receive anything. He's all contained. But in order, he has to receive charis. Chen. Like, he chooses to do that because he's all sufficient. He can't not be all sufficient. And yet he opens up to receive from us thankfulness. Chen. Graciousness. He pours out grace and graciousness on our lives, and when we're thankful, he receives that back. And it's one of the few things that you'll find in Scripture that he receives. I didn't do a full study of it, but I was laying in bed last night. I'm like, wait a minute. And I was just trying to check off. Like, I couldn't come up with anything else. It probably is, but I couldn't come up with much that God receives from us. And typically, it's in a position that, like, we're not greater than, like, that's not what I'm saying, but that word typically is someone has something to offer that you don't have. God lets himself, he lets himself want that grace back. He completes the circuit. He completes the circuit. One more of these. So since we are receiving, right, from God, we're receiving this kingdom that's unshakable, let us be chen, thankful, charis. Let us be thankful and please God by worshiping with holy fear and awe. Completes the circuit. Look at this. Any area of your life that you want to see more of God's grace, complete the circuit. Give thanks. You want to see more of God's graciousness in your life? If you want to see more of the grace of God, anywhere you want to see God poured out in your life, if there's an area that you need God's grace to be poured out, start giving thanks. Complete the circuit. Come on, man. You need both wires. Some of you are sitting there with a toaster with one prong, and you're like, Lord, I need dry bread that's toasted, and this is not working. Come on, complete the circuit. Start giving thanks. Start letting the gratitude, and chuck it out, man. Yada, chuck it out. Start giving thanks. You guys get it? I feel like about 60% of you just went, hey, that's cool. I can do that. Well, is there a vacuum of grace in your life? You got an area that doesn't look like God's showing up? Come on, complete both wires, man. This one's all you. Come on. Say, that's all me. Come on. You've got a choice. You can start being thankful. You can start casting out, God, I thank you. And you can just be so weighed down and worried, and you can just start giving thanks. Guess what? All of a sudden, both wires are working, and the grace of God is starting to flow. The gracious, the hand of God starting to be poured out. You're like, ooh, I feel tingly all over. Yeah, come on. The joy of the Lord starts bubbling up. You get a phone call. We did that this morning. We prayed about something this morning, and we were just being thankful that God is already working behind the scenes. We actually said that, and my mom just came and showed me a text. While we were in church, breakthrough happened. Come on, where you need to see some grace of God in your life, both wires. Come on, both wires. I want to see all of you guys this week going around just grabbing wires. No, I'm kidding. That's not true. Cut that off the radio. We're not talking about that. Don't do that. But that image of you completing that circuit, you being thankful is completing that circuit of grace. This wire on its own, useless. But as soon as it connects with the power, the same power that's flowing from the source to you flows back. And it just completes that circuit, man. It is so good. See, look at this. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then the peace of God, right, that comes from God. It's this, I give thanksgiving, and the peace of God comes. It's this circuit. Come on, it's this circuit. It complete the circuit. Give thanks. Cast it out. Yada. Ooh, chuck it up there, man. Just give what's in your heart. All right, really quick. Charis, that means grace and thanks. Charisto, it means thankful. It's, you know, do you see that? Like, charis, toe. You get it? And then the last one, acharisto. And we have that same A in our English language that reverses thing. It means ingratitude. Rick Renner says the word thankful, translated from charistos, projects the deep feeling of deep inward feeling of one who is thankful, grateful, or appreciative for what he's received or how he's been treated by others. Rick goes on to say, but the Holy Spirit prophesied in 2 Timothy 3:2 that many in society will become unthankful in the last days. The word unthankful is the Greek word acharistos. The word charistos, with an A affixed to the front of it, that little A has a canceling effect. And it literally changes the meaning of the word from thankful to unthankful. For example, though a person was once thankful, something has occurred and his thankfulness has been canceled. We don't want to cancel the thing. We don't want to have a short circuit. We don't want to remove ourselves from that power flow. He goes on and says this one last thing. Unthankfulness is so wicked that in Luke 6:35, Jesus connects it with evil. He said, and this is a quote from Luke 6, he says, love your enemies, do what is good, and lend expecting nothing in turn, and then your reward will be great, and you'll be children of the Most High for God, for he is gracious to the ungrateful and evil. That's the kind of people that are lumped together. Ungrateful people and evil people. Like, that's the group of people. I don't want to be one of those guys. John Mark Comer, we're just about done here. He said that St. Ignatius said that the root of all sin is ingratitude. He would describe ingratitude as seizing life as a right rather than receiving it as a gift. Where is society at in 2024? Right. Oh my gosh. St. Ignatius, he died in like the year 110 or whatever. He was a disciple of John the Baptist. Okay, he was like one of the first guys. And he writes this. They were dealing with entitlement in his day as well. Wow. It's a human condition. It's not an American condition in 2024. It's a human condition. What he's saying is you want to describe what ingratitude looks like, the evilness of ingratitude? It looks like seizing life as a right rather than receiving it as a gift. He would say that the root of every single sin and all evil and all injustice in the world is ingratitude. Therefore, our primary posture towards God is gratitude. Gratitude is the foundation of our relationship with God. Amen. Which is that line that he said, seizing life as a right rather than receiving it as a gift. Man, if you want to short circuit the grace of God in your life, just be entitled. Just start thinking you deserve it. If you want to connect and complete the circuit and see more of God's grace, start being thankful. Oh, I can't believe she said that to me. I don't deserve to be. Thank you, God, that I got out of the house today. Oh, that was a rough comment, but Lord bless her. Right? Come on, one robs you of God's grace, one immerses you in God's grace. Not saying it's easy, saying you need to do it. I need to do it. Because why? It's good. Say it's good.
It's good.
Amen. It's good to give thanks. God, we just bless this people today. I thank you for the circuit of grace that can be released in our life, God, as we give thanks to you. I pray that our hearts would be full of gratitude. I pray that we would cast it out. We wouldn't keep it inside of us, but we would give it back to you. We would complete the circuit and see the grace of God increase in our life day by day by day. I bless these people. Give us a great week and help us to be thankful for all that you've done. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen.